You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome back to another special CEO series of the On The Money Markets podcast for this Friday, the 16th of August. I'm Raina Bosch, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. The Australian share market posted another day of solid gains, up 1.3%, following some strong US retail sales data last night. On the local front, we had RBA Governor Michelle Bullock in front of Senate flagging no rate cuts in the near future and reporting season, which is now approaching the halfway point. Front and center, banking giant NAB and online real estate website Domain. NAB's quarterly profits came in around 6% lower year on year as inflationary pressure, high interest rates and increased competition weigh on lending. Domain's profits, meanwhile, proving largely immune to the broader economic downturn. Its CEO, Jason Pellegrino, saying that the market remains buoyant, along with its profits, which were up nearly 28% to $42.4 million. For more on that, here's Raina Serampayat speaking with Domain CEO Jason Pellegrino.
Yeah, it's a very strong result for FY24. We have revenue up 13%. Our EBITDA margin has grown from 31 to 35%. And our net profit is up 28%, which is a really strong result in the context of a market that's continuing to improve. Most pleasingly, that result was driven off the back of delivering an innovative suite of new products that work. We know that if vendors bring their property to Domain as a platform, on average, the average Australian property at $1 million will sell for $36,000 more than if they don't list their property on Domain. So our products work, and that means that more agents, more vendors, and more buyers are coming to the Domain platform, and we've seen that delivered over the last 12 months.
Let's talk about market conditions, especially in the main markets of Sydney and Melbourne. Are you seeing a slowing in listings or a slowing in growth of listings?
So what you're seeing is a return to more normal seasonal patterns of listings. After several years of enormous volatility because of the Royal Commission, COVID, and the recent rapid interest rate increases, the property market cycles across Australia are starting to moderate. So what that means is Sydney and Melbourne typically lead the national property cycle, and that's been a feature of the last 12 months. Pricing has grown quite strongly in those markets, and listing volumes have followed that. In the last 12 months, Queensland, as an example, or other states, have been quite low in terms of listing volumes, but they have been improving quite significantly in recent months. As we look forward to next year, we will see those states continue to improve and move to sort of above average listing volumes. We'll start to see price moderate, but still continue to grow. And in Sydney and Melbourne, that price growth has already started to moderate, but we're still seeing quite strong listing volumes that will continue into FY25.
And how do you see the spring season, which is just around the corner?
So we're seeing really positive signs of early spring listing volumes. That will start to grow in September and peak towards the middle to back end of November. But the early signs are very pleasing. One of the really interesting sights is the difference in performance between Sydney and Melbourne. We're seeing strong listing volumes start to emerge and continue in Sydney and Melbourne. However, in Melbourne, the mix of properties is fundamentally different. In Sydney, we're seeing strength in the premium end, and that continues out as we move out through the sort of outer suburban rings of Sydney. Although in some of those areas that we have more sort of affordability and mortgage challenges, those listing volumes are not as strong. In Melbourne, we're seeing a really strong listing pattern from investors. We're seeing a lot of investors exiting the market and bringing their listing their properties to market to sell.
What about sentiment that's contributing to the moderation that you're seeing in Sydney and Melbourne? Now, the Reserve Bank restated today there'll be no interest rate cuts this year. And among those with mortgages, both the CBA and the NAB are reporting higher arrears. Are you tracking sentiment on a weekly basis, and what is it telling you?
Yeah, we do track sentiment weekly. We track it daily. We have a lot of forward indicators. And for example, attendance at open home inspections, registered bidders at auctions, the intensity of inquiries and the types of inquiries we get. And all of those indicators show that that there is a really solid rate of interest. Consumers are not being swayed by any sentiment of further interest rate increases. I think we saw the pattern of that having a major impact on consumer sentiment a year to 18 months ago, when people weren't sure whether interest rates would peak in the 6%, the 7%, or the 8%. We're still seeing commentary from the RBA to say there could potentially be another 25 basis point rise. We're seeing commentary that maybe declines are actually pushed out till next year. But the broad-based view is that the interest rates will start to decline next calendar year and the back end of next financial year. And so generally there is quite positive sentiment. What that means is people are going back to what drives them to buy property and sell properties in Australia. The vast majority of properties in Australia that are bought and sold are homes. And homes are bought and sold because of demographic needs, not because of financial needs. So births, deaths, marriages and all of those demographic trends haven't materially moved. And so we're seeing people go back to normal patterns of having to trade up and down their homes in terms of what's needed.
Are you starting to see more distressed sales?
We actually are not. We're not seeing a significant uplift in distressed sales on our platform. We have some really ingenious AI tools that sort of look across the tens and hundreds of thousands of listings that we get on our platform over the course of a year, and detecting sentiment that sits behind those listings, through keywords, through the types of agents that are involved, through changes in prices that are displayed or predicted for those properties. And we're not seeing a material uplift in distressed sales as yet.
Obviously, we have a crisis of housing supply. Just what proportion of new listings are coming from new builds?
So we are seeing a very constrained supply side in terms of new builds. So our developer business, which actually represents new build, is down for a fifth year in a row. There are some pockets of success there in some parts of the country, the Gold Coast, for example, or in really premium high-end apartments. However, the bulk of new supply coming to market has slowed down dramatically. That's putting pressure on supply. Together with very high rates of stamp duty across the country, it's slowing down turnover of stock. And the research that we've put together and the engagement that we have with government is sort of pointing to the fact that much more needs to be done to not only increase the pace at which supply is coming onto the market, but also reduce the friction costs of trading, things like stamp duty, because these are the things that are actually sort of impacting supply, and it's driving up rental, lowering of availability, and really impacting on affordability. And so we're sort of calling on governments and working with governments and providing the technology and the tools to better understand the policies that should be implemented and then taking action and implementing them to actually help with the supply-demand imbalance.
Well, Domain does seem entrenched as the number two real estate portal in Australia. I guess that means the need for constant innovation. You spoke before about an innovative suite of products and about AI. Just what has happened that's new and different in the past year, and what can your clients look forward to?
So on our agent business, helping vendors find buyers for their property, the big step forward in innovation is the launch of Audience Boost. So we are now taking every paid listing that hits our platform and extending that out to a range of digital platforms, whether that's social media networks, search properties, or across the nine audience network that we partner with our major shareholder. What that means is we're going out beyond our platforms, finding people who have high intent to buy, people who look like that, and drawing them back into our audience and our platforms, which means that our vendors and agents are getting an uplift in the number of views on their listings and the likelihood to purchase. So in July, early days, but from launch of that product, our views per listing are up 30% year on year because of that product. In terms of AI, we're using AI to improve the valuations capabilities that we have. We have valuations on over 90% of properties across Australia. We have records and databases of all the properties that sit across Australia, whether they're houses or apartments. And we're providing banks, insurers, we're providing now even consumers and Australians with greater transparency on a predicted valuation for that property. And that's been a significant step forward. The final area is where we are taking AI to across the breadth and the vast range of data that we have, whether that's on our consumer platforms, whether that's the platforms that we work with governments around land valuations and property titles, to start predicting future behaviours. And we're seeing real bright spots in taking some of those products to banks and helping them starting to think through what is the future profile of their mortgage book look like? What should they actually do to reduce churn, to increase acquisition, and to service their customer base better?
That was Raina Sampayat speaking with Domain CEO Jason Pellegrino. Turning back to the ASX now, which continued along the recovery path to be up 2.5% for the week, the index, however, still being weighed by economic developments in China. For more on that, I spoke with Kate Hanrahan, private client advisor at Sequoia Wealth Management.
Well, the gains in the local market has been as a result of rallies in global markets, and that came about because the US had stronger retail numbers than what was expected. And these numbers seem to have been able to ease the investor concerns. And of course, we've heard so much commentary about potential recession, but that seems to have subsided. And it also looks like they're lessening the need for aggressive easing by the Fed next month. So we're now at consensus of around 75% for a 25 basis point rate cut next month. And of course, our market took this lead and rallied, and we've got all sectors in the green. In terms of whether it's going to continue, I think it depends on, of course, the economic data that comes out and central banks' ability to curb the inflation whilst not impacting economic growth. So that's yet to be seen.
Now, reporting season also played a factor here today. We're coming up to around the halfway point at the moment. What are the trends that you're seeing?
Well, what we were looking for going into this season was how the higher rates and inflation would impact corporate earnings. And the overriding trend that we're seeing come through is whilst we're seeing better revenue numbers, the costs have risen more than we expected. So that's, of course, impacted profit. And it's the companies that are able to manage these costs and have some pricing power that are managing this economic environment the best. And an example of this is Telstra, who reported in line with expectations. On the revenue side, they've been able to push through these mobile price increases. And in a high-cost environment, they're able to keep the costs flat, and they've also flagged big cost cuts into 2025. So looking forward, that's what the market is looking at. And it's this combination of the pricing power and cost control that's proving to be well-received by the market in this reporting season.
Yeah, you mentioned the economic struggles that people are facing there. And we did have Michelle Bullock talking on some of those points today. She's basically said no rate cuts in the near term, assumably over the next 6 months. What are the markets pricing in, and how do you consolidate the difference in views?
Well, Michelle said that the financial markets had priced in a rate cut by the year's end. I think the fact that this news today didn't have a big impact in the market, it shows that whilst there were still some investors who were factoring that in, others had actually adjusted expectations to rate cuts in early 2025. And so I think it's important to remember that the markets are 12-month forward looking. So I guess the real question is going to be, how many rate cuts has the market factored in, and how is this going to impact the markets going forward?
The RBA governor also mentioned some concerns over China's economy. How are you seeing that play out on the market?
Oh, look, we're certainly seeing it impact the market, and China's weakening economy, it's more than likely going to impact our market, of course, because they account for 1/3 of all exports. And with this backdrop, our China-facing stocks are going to be impacted, and in particular, of course, our iron ore stocks and some of the consumer stocks such as Treasury Wine Estates and A2 Milk. In the commodity space, most importantly, that's the big one for Australia, and it's iron ore. So what we've seen of late is that the spending on infrastructure and construction, which is the key driver for the Chinese economy, this has been slowing. And of course, iron ore is a key input into steel production. So Chinese steel production was down over 9% in July, and this carried through to a further price decline in iron ore. So it's actually trading at about $93 a ton. And if you look back at the beginning of the year where it was trading at $135 a ton, the decline significant. So as a result, our big stocks such as BHP, Rio, and Fortescue, they're all down between 20 and 40% since early 2024.
Finally, and with all of this in mind, where are you seeing the opportunities for investors at the moment?
So I think if commodity prices steady somewhat and they're able to stabilize, and we start to see that, then I think there's big opportunities for investors in these diversified mining stocks. So particularly BHP, Rio, and Fortescue, as I mentioned, they're starting to become attractive. And what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot more volume come through in these stocks. So you can see that traders are already starting to get themselves set. From our perspective, with our type of investors, I think we'd like to see the commodity prices stabilize a bit more before we start buying. But when we do, they're the stocks that we'll be looking at. And I think for medium and long-term investors, it's a great opportunity.
That was Kate Hanrahan, Private Client Advisor at Sequoia Wealth Management.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.